Good morning and welcome. Since you're all talking amongst yourselves already, I'm going to invite you to stand up and greet somebody nearby and actually say hi and welcome in the name of Christ. Glad to have you all here this morning on this first Sunday in the Advent season. I welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. I am the Reverend Mark Gowan, pastor here, and I will be leading worship this morning. Abby Hansen is our liturgist. The Caste family will be lighting our Advent candles, and Lynn Meyer is playing the piano and the organ for us this morning. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card, as you'll find in the pew racks in front of you, and put it in the offering plates at the back of the front part of the sanctuary here when you leave the service. If you're visiting with us at home, I invite you to leave a message on our Facebook page. And if anyone would like to know more about this congregation, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. We do have a few announcements to share this morning before we start our service. And the first is that the flowers are given by David and Cheryl Weinberg in celebration of their 54th wedding anniversary. Congratulations. Speaking of flowers, you'll notice in your bulletin the poinsettia order form. That is due today, so invite you to fill that out and leave it in the offering plate, and we add to our beauty in the Christmas Eve in the coming up in a few weeks. Heather is ill today, and so there will be no jam for kids today. She did want me to announce that the children's Christmas pageant rehearsal will be next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. The pageant itself will be on next Sunday evening, December 4th at 5 p.m. with a potluck dinner and the pageant following. You're all invited to come to both, but they will be different. And we certainly encourage you to come to the pageant that evening. It is always wonderful to have our children tell the story of Christmas. Tickets are now on sale for the Habitat Progressive Christmas, and John Cameron has them right there, as does Bernie Simpkins and Diana Westfall. These tickets are $10, and they are for the Progressive Concert, which will be on Friday, December 9th. If you haven't been to the Progressive Concerts, we haven't had one for a couple of years because of COVID, but the idea is you listen to a concert here, and then you go to Church of the Master around the corner and hear another short concert, and then around the corner again to Church of the Master, and you get three concerts for the price of one. It's great fun and a great opportunity to support a very worthy cause in Habitat for Humanity. And so if you have any questions, ask those three. They will be glad to help you and sell you whatever tickets you need for that. Finally, I will be on vacation in the middle of this week. And just a note, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I will be here on Monday, and we'll be up here in the pulpit next Sunday. Now, let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Today, on the first Sunday of Advent, we light the first Advent candle, the candle of waiting. Think of a time when you were so excited that you could hardly wait for something to happen. Maybe you waited for someone special to visit and you stood at the window watching. You weren't exactly sure when that special visitor would come, but you wanted to be ready. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, "For creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God." Advent is about waiting and being ready. We are waiting for Christ to come. We must always be alert, awake, and excited, for even though we don't know the time, we know with certainty that Christ will come into our lives. We know that we are God's people, and therefore we can wait in hope. Let us pray. God, whom we know in Christ Jesus our Savior, help us as we wait for the coming again of the baby Jesus. Keep us alert, awake, and aware of the times in our lives when we know your salvation. Even more, help us to share that good news of salvation with others. Amen. As we wait, we come together to worship our Lord.
Please join me in the Litany of Confession. O God, we know that the center of this season is a newborn child. We hear that something special is happening. We've been told that God is with us. Holy God, this Advent, slow us down that we may hear the good news and rejoice in your message of love.
Slow us down, O Lord, that we might see you Christ child and worship him this Advent season.
Amen. Hear the declaration of forgiveness. You are called to belong to Jesus Christ for the sake of the one God promised to send, named as God's Son, who died, was raised, and through whom we receive grace. God forgives you all your sins. You are God's beloved, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace.
Grace and thanksgiving are yours, God of our salvation.
Please be seated. Wait for Andrew to come back down here after he had that sort of thing. For all of you children at home who are attending the service, and for all who are children at heart, I invite you to this moment, especially for children. Come on up here, Andrew. We're going to sit together here. You can join right here. I brought something to show you. I'll show everybody here. Stand up. Piece of wood, right? I got it because it looks like, to me, like a tree stump. If you set it there, like a tree stump, doesn't it? A little bit. It's just a piece of wood that's cut up and varnished a little bit, and it's kind of a tree stump look to it. And I brought this because the story that Abby, Miss Abby, is going to read here in a minute, one of the stories in the Bible talks about a tree stump. Now, it's a tree stump that looks like this, which is a dead piece of wood, but in the story, it actually shoots out a new branch, brand new, green, and all that. Now, next time you're at our house, I'm going to show you a tree stump that is just like that. A few years ago, Mr. McCormick came and he cut down the apple tree we had in our front yard because it was too much of a mess. It's over by the cherry tree. Okay, it's too much of a mess. And he cut it down and all we had left was the stump. Well, you know what? There's now a new apple tree growing out of that stump. That is just like the story that Abby's going to read. And next time you're at our house or any of the rest of you are visiting, you can come and I'll show you the stump where there's a new apple tree growing that way. And that's the story about is that God makes something happen even when we don't expect it. We did not expect an apple tree to grow out of that stump, but there it was. And God does that to us as well, makes something special happen. And that's what this season is, that we look towards Christmas coming. We think of the special things God does for us, even when we don't expect it. So let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you made a branch to grow out of a stump, and that you make special and exciting and unusual things happen in our world today. And we look forward to seeing that happen in our lives during this Advent season. And everybody said together, Amen. I'm going to put this right here so everyone can see that while Abby reads.
Our first scripture lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 and 16. So listen for the word of God. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Our second scripture is from the New Testament, the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the day will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare for your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head shall perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord God, as we ponder the scripture lessons this morning, we ask for the guidance of your Holy Spirit that we might come to understand these words and make them part of our lives. Amen. One of my favorite movies is the baseball classic Field of Dreams, in which an Iowa farmer named Ray Kinsella hears a mysterious voice that says, "If you build it, he will come." As if compelled by some inner force as well as that voice, Ray decides to build it. And what he builds is a baseball field right in the middle of his cornfields. And they do come. Baseball players from a bygone era appear on his field and play endless games of baseball. And while Ray enjoys watching these old-time ghosts of players play a beloved game, his beloved game, he is still restless. He still is not certain what this is all about and why he was so compelled to build a baseball field in the middle of his cornfield. And at one point, towards the end of the movie, Ray argues with one of the baseball-playing ghosts as to why he was forced to build this field, finally asking him, "What's in it for me?" And in a way, Ray Kinsella is voicing the yearning that lies within all of us. What's in it for me? How is any of what I'm doing with my life matter? For Ray, the question is, why did he build a baseball diamond in the middle of a cornfield? What difference did it make to him? And he has a longing deep inside of him that he can't quite grasp, but he knows is there. And it is that longing that sits deep inside each of us that most of us can't quite grasp, but we know is there. We are now entering the season of Advent in which our longings become magnified. The season of Advent encompasses the first four Sundays leading up to Christmas. It is the season of waiting, as our candle lighting liturgy said, waiting for the Christ child to be born. And yet in that waiting, there is a yearning for the world to be made right, for all our relationships to be harmonious, for the revealing of that deep, deep, deep longing that's inside of us. Heidi Newmark, a Lutheran pastor in one of the rougher sections of the Bronx in New York City, writes, "Probably the reason I love Advent so much is that it is a reflection of how I feel most of the time. I might not feel sorry during Lent when the liturgical calendar begs for repentance. I might not feel victorious, even though it is Easter morning. I might not feel full of the Spirit, even though it is Pentecost and the liturgy spins out fiery gusts of ecstasy. But during Advent, I am always in sync with the season. Advent unfailingly embraces and comprehends my reality. And what is that? I think of the Spanish word angelo, or longing. Advent is when the church can no longer contain its unfulfilled desire, and the cry of an halo bursts forth, "Maranatha, come Lord Jesus." And so it is that Advent is a season in which our longings, if not coming totally to the surface, at least rise up within us. Our reading from Jeremiah is one that sets those longings in front of us. Here, Jeremiah is speaking to his Jewish countrymen and women who have been conquered by Babylonian armies, and they have been taken away and are being held as hostages in a foreign country. For these people, there is no hope, only a longing to return to where they were, a yearning for what once was. Jeremiah tells these beaten down people that despite every sign to the contrary, the days are coming, the days that God's promises will be fulfilled. Jeremiah tells his kinfolks that God's future will come and that now is the time to trust in the power and the purposes of God. With the world crumbling around him, Jeremiah pushes his people to see a future, God's future, which seems laughable given their current conditions. But that is Jeremiah's message. Out of once was, God will create something new. Out of what is dead, a new life will grow. A righteous branch will spring out of seemingly something that has not grown in a long, long time. On this first Sunday of Advent, Jeremiah's cry turns us forward to the future when he says, "The days are surely coming." He assures the people of his day and ours that what is coming is of God, and that there will be a future in God's time and a fulfillment in God's terms. And yet, this is the challenge for all of us who hear Jeremiah's words, because what we see around us, so much of it does not look very godlike. For the Jews of Jeremiah's time, they only saw the hardship imposed on a conquered people. For us today, we see only a world that appears to be coming apart at the seams. Do I need to list the troubles that we face? An economy that's shaky at best? A major war in Europe that threatens to spread like a wildfire to the rest of the world? A country that's divided, so divided that we have trouble finding any common ground? Do I need to go on? And add to these our own personal troubles and challenges, troubles with health, family discord, financial concerns, broken relationships, and so much more, that we are lost in a morass that is anything but God-like. Yet if we are to heed Jeremiah's words, we are to observe Advent as more than a countdown to Christmas. Advent becomes a time when we look forward to what God has in store for us. It is a time when we wait eagerly for the fulfillment of that deep yearning within us. What's in it for me? Is what Ray asked. And that comes to the surface in Advent. Jeremiah's call to us is the crucial and simultaneous task that during this Advent season, we are given the task, the Christian task of imagination. Together with the prophet, we are called not only to name the sufferings, the injustices, the things that are bothering us in our situation in the world, but we are called to lean into God's promised future. A future that we are called to imagine. It is a holy imagination that Jeremiah lays before us. We see the possibility where the world sees only death and destruction. The imagination of God's future is not something speculative, but it is rooted in God's continuing presence in our lives and in our world. Trusting in God's provisions for us in the past, we imagine what shape God's promised future will be like. And then in this process of imagining, we become partners with God in the advent of this new reality. And this will not be an easy task. Our passage from Luke tells us this much. Here, Jesus gives his disciples a glimpse of the future, but it is one that none of us would rightly welcome. Wars, pandemics, economic turmoil, insurrections, they are all part of the world that Jesus sees ahead. But it is within this world that we are called to witness to Christ, to imagine a world beyond the wars, beyond the pandemics, beyond the economic turmoil and insurrections. Then we see what Advent is all about. But that's always been our callings as Christians, to witness to God's presence in the midst of the world that seems godless. As Luke records it, this will give you an opportunity to testify. An opportunity to testify that Christ has been at work in your life, in my life, in the life of the disciples, even in the midst of whatever suffering we might be experiencing. And it is out of that suffering that we become witnesses to Christ. For our very lives reveal Christ in the midst of the hardship we face. The task of the Christian imagination is to live through what is not God-like and to live for what is God-like. To share in word and deed what we imagine as God's best for our world and for our neighbor. And we may never see what we imagine, but we can certainly strive to get there. An opportunity for testimony born out of a time of loss and grief and chaos is recorded in the song Precious Lord, written by Thomas Dorsey. Thomas Dorsey, born in 1889 in rural Georgia, was a prolific songwriter and an excellent gospel and blues musician. While a young man, Dorsey moved to Chicago and found work as a piano player in the churches, as well as singing in clubs and playing in theaters. Struggling to support his family, Dorsey divided his time between playing in the clubs and playing in the church. After some time of turbulence, Dorsey decided to devote his artistry exclusively to the church. In August of 1932, Dorsey left his pregnant wife in Chicago and traveled to be the featured soloist at a large revival meeting in St. Louis. After the first night of the revival, Dorsey received a telegram that simply said, "Your wife just died." Dorsey raced home and learned that his wife had given birth to a son before dying in childbirth, and the next day his son died as well. Dorsey buried his wife and his son in the same casket and withdrew in sorrow and agony from his family and friends. He refused to compose or play any music for quite some time. And while still in the midst of despair, Dorsey said that as he sat in front of the piano, a feeling of peace washed through him. He heard a melody in his head that he had never heard before and began to play it on the piano. That night, Dorsey recorded his testimony while in the midst of his suffering with these words, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Maybe this is the answer to Ray Kinsella's question, what's in it for me? What's in it for any of us in this Advent season is to tell the story of God's love in our lives. And in so doing, we release that longing that lies within us, and we let the precious Lord take our hands and love us and lead us home. Amen. Be seated. We come together in this time of prayer, and in so doing, we lift up those who have particular need of prayer. And let us take a moment and offer our personal prayers to God, and then I'll lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. O Lord, hear our prayers. O God, today we enter Advent, a season of possibilities, a time of not yet. But daily lives reflect human struggles. Sometimes we are surrounded by brokenness in our lives, among our friends and families, in our worldwide family. Hope seems a far-off vision, yet we yearn for it to fill us, and we cry together, "Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved." When hope is lost, as it is for many this time of year, restore them and us to God. When people are hurting, as in the case with many whom we have mentioned this morning, restore them and us, O God. When nations are fighting or when neighbors are arguing, restore them and us to God. When children are hungry, when families are homeless, when prisoners are lonely, restore them and us, O God. Restore us, God of life. Bring us closer to hope, the hope that lights the way on the journey to Bethlehem. During this season of waiting, may we be open to signs of your restoring love. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. And now, joining together, let us say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us join in our closing hymn. In this Advent season, know that as we travel through with Christ guiding us, walking with us, leading us, helping us to imagine what God's world is like. Go in peace. Amen.